Derval McDonald on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back. Well, it is the season to celebrate, and I'm joined now by two people with lots of reason to celebrate as they found out last Wednesday that their movie on Colleen Kuhn, The Quiet Girl, has been shortlisted for the Academy Award Best International Film. Director Colin Borate and producer Cleona Ní Chruailí are here with me in studio. Thank you both for coming in, and congratulations to you both.
Thanks so much, Derval.
Has it just been a whirlwind?
Yeah, I mean, the whole year has been a bit of a whirlwind, to be honest. But yeah, since it was Wednesday, wasn't it? We found out, like, the days have all just blurred into one now. Yeah, it's been extraordinary, just the reaction online and, you know, people all over the world, actually. Other people who are kind of passionate about the film and other countries even just posting online saying how happy they are that we made the shortlist and so forth. So
I know. Yeah. It's just so, so exciting. Now, before we get to the story of The Quiet Girl and Colleen Kuhn, let's go to Cleona, your remarkable own backstory, because I know you didn't meet in prison, but whatever about a relationship being a life sentence, you've spent quite a bit of time behind bars already, haven't you?
Yeah, well, myself and Colin met working together in 2009 on a docudrama for TG Cahir, in fact. But yeah, along the way, we've done a lot of work together, but we've separately worked as freelancers for other companies as well. And we spent almost a year in Mountjoy Prison, covering, making a series for what was formerly TV3, and following all the prisoners and prison officers around. And yeah, so I think if you can survive prison together, you can survive anything. And a feature film, mind.
And Colm, your own background is you've been making short films and documentaries for years.
Yeah, and actually almost exclusively in the Irish language. All of my short films prior to On Colleen Kuhn, and Colleen Kuhn is my first feature length film. All of my short films would have been in the Irish language. But I've made a bunch of different types of television and documentaries for RTE and TG Cahir, obviously, and TV3. But yeah, like, my first love has always been cinema. You know, I've always been interested in working with actors and telling a story in that
And when form. Were you a big TV kind of cinema people in your house growing up?
Well, my dad actually hated us watching TV when we were younger. And actually, when we were very young, when I was about eight or nine, our TV broke and my dad was delighted, you know, so he didn't replace it for like a good while. Until 1990, when Ireland qualified for the World Cup.
And then you had to.
And then, yeah, it was like the idea of not having a TV was suddenly, you know, untenable. So he grudgingly bought a television, but crucially he bought a VCR machine as well. And he started buying films for us because he was happier with us watching films than watching television, I think. So he kind of began, that's where my film education began, really. You know, he used to buy like old silent films and Hollywood musicals and all that kind of stuff, and really just piqued my interest in the world of film.
Is it, Cleona, when you're working, obviously as a couple, and you're working in a film, like, I mean, is it very all consuming when you're doing that?
Completely.
I'm being very, very delicate about it. How's the relationship going? Is it all consuming?
It's absolutely all consuming, yeah. Because, you know, people even on set used to speak to us about, you know, when one person, in a household is working on a film,
it's
full on. But like when both people are working, and we have young children as well. So it's
kind of helpful, right? Mm-hmm. That the two of us, because we both understand the demands of the job and, you know, the fact that we're in it together and we're in this sort of adventure together. I think is kind of a lovely thing, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's been just so amazing to be on this journey together. You know, every step of the way, we've had highs, we've had lows, but we've been there to support each other, I suppose, and carry each other along, you know, through the tough times and the great times as well.
The journey, Colm, from script to actually getting a production done is, you know, there's a lot of attrition. There's a lot of things sort of fall out along the way. Was And Colleen Kuhn your first full length movie or your first full length script, and is there a difference between that?
We had written, On Colleen Kuhn is part of a particular scheme called Cine Cahir, which TG Cahir and Screen Ireland and the BAI fund. And basically they put out a call for ideas every kind of year or so. And we had applied before On Colleen Kuhn with another idea and we got shortlisted. And so they gave us money to develop that script. So I did write a script for that. We didn't quite make it in that round to the actual production side of things. But yeah, so I had written one feature length script, like a long, like a film script essentially prior to this. And then just before that, it would have been, you know, short films and so forth. Yeah. But yeah, this is my first and our first feature film. It's our own production company, Inchscale, that produced it as well. So,
and Cleona, is it frustrating because a lot of stuff must maybe just in that whole process of trying to get things into development and get funding, does a lot end up on the cutting room floor, or is there frustration if stuff doesn't come to fruition?
Yeah, well, like, when it comes to art on Colleen Kuhn, I guess we had a rough cut of about 2 hours, so we had to lose about half an hour of the film.
Wow.
So there's a few scenes that didn't make it, but, you know, we made the right decisions to pull them, you know, because it wouldn't be the same film if we had included it all. It would have been too long, I think. And yeah, some scenes just weren't working as well as we had hoped. So I think we got the right 95 minutes in the end, I think.
And Cleona, this drama was not without its own drama because it got hit by COVID. It really sort of had a huge impact at the start.
Absolutely, yeah. Like we filmed this film in September, October 2020. We were originally meant to film it during the summer, but COVID...
Because it's set in the summer.
It's set in the summertime. And yeah, the story of Foster is a summer story. So we were kind of... It was a ticking clock in a way. We had to get it filmed before... You know, the foliage started changing and we started to get closer to winter. You know, we had to prioritise all our exterior scenes first, you know, in early September. And
I can't even remember at which stage of lockdowns, not lockdowns, levels 5, 3, were we in even at that stage?
Yeah, well, we'd just come out of lockdown. We were like, I suppose, one of the guinea pigs going out into production. But still, there were very strict protocols around at the time. There were no vaccinations. And actually, during our shoot, I think we were in week 3 of our shoot, and NPHET were calling for the government to go to level 5. And thankfully, they only went to level 3 and we got to continue shooting. But, you know, we used to go down to set and we'd be meeting Garda checkpoints, and the Gardaí would say, oh, what are you doing out in the roads? You know,
yeah.
They were making a movie, you know, and they'd be very surprised to hear that, you know. But and you know, we had to... test cast and crew every week and everything. So there was a real kind of atmosphere of fear around at that time. And, you know, we were very strict kind of protocols on set and everything. We couldn't, there was no touching and a lot of social distancing and
it
everything.
It was deemed an essential activity though, wasn't it? Film and TV making, I think, was one of those things.
Categories
that
could. So you were lucky to be able to even proceed, Colm.
Yeah. I mean... But it's funny how you kind of in the beginning it was very strange, you know, wearing masks and everything, particularly in the world of film where actors and crew are generally quite tactile and, you know, you're usually kind of hugging your actors at the end of the day and all that kind of stuff. And
I suppose for a lot of parts you probably couldn't even really even see the team or the production team if you're wearing masks and doing everything.
Yeah, because like when we would have met a lot of the crew again, say at the Dublin premiere of the film at the Dublin Film Festival.
When are you?
And yeah, it was kind of like, you know, you're like, oh, you look, that's not what I thought you looked like. You know, just we knew everyone's eyes very well. But
we were separated in 2 different pods. So, you know, neither the 2 pods would ever meet. Like we were all separated at lunchtime and everything. So it was, you know, the pod A that was dealing with cast and main crew, and then pod B were, you know, all on the periphery. Still, I
remember
I think
the
it made
lunch,
us...
like the we had a marquee like beside the where we were filming and for lunchtime, you know, and if you were to see a photograph of it, it looks like a Leaving Cert exam hall because it was all like single tables with single chairs, all spaced. And
everybody eating just their own lunch on their own.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. Yeah.
When I was watching the movie, it was bringing me back to my days as a young teenager in the Gaeltacht in Donegal, and just the joy of being able to understand some of the language, Colm, because it's not just that it's a beautiful movie that has enjoyed such great success already, but it's that it's in Irish. Were both of you raised with the Irish language? I know a lot of your work has been in that sector of broadcasting, but were you brought up speaking Irish in your family?
Yeah, so my dad's never spoken English to me. So it was a bilingual household. So dad spoke Irish and mum spoke English. I grew up in Donegal. I had a kind of a strange relationship, I'd say, with the language growing up because... You know, you're kind of...
Your dad spoke Irish and your mum spoke English.
Yeah, but...
In Dublin, in Donegal.
In Donegal, yeah. So we were kind of... I always felt like we were seen as this slightly odd family, you know, who were speaking this language that people didn't quite understand why or whatever. But I don't know.
Where did your dad's passion for the language come from?
he just fell in love with it, I think, as a young in school, really, because he's not from a Gaeltacht area. He's from Mayo, but he's not from a Gaeltacht area. He has a love of languages in general. Mm. Like, he was a German teacher all of his life, and he's like speaks Latin, and he's now back in Trinity doing ancient Greek now, and so he just can't stop learning languages. But I'm very grateful to him for what he did for us, that he gave us, even though at the time I kind of rebelled a bit against it. But he did truly give us this gift. You know, he gave us, to get a second language is a gift, and particularly to be given, you know, our own language, our indigenous tongue, is something that I'll always be thankful for.
And Cleon, you were born in the UK, so did you grow up speaking Irish there at all, or where did you...
not originally? No, I was born in Reading to Irish parents. My mum is a native Irish speaker from Donegal. My dad was from Cork, and I guess they got married over there. I had three children. Decided to come home to Ireland. Always wanted to raise us as Irish, and my mum, I suppose because my dad didn't have Irish, she just didn't really pursue that, you know, even though it was always around us. Like, we'd go on holidays to Donegal, and, you know, there'd be Irish all around. My mum would speak Irish to her siblings, and, you know, you were all, by osmosis, almost, you were taking it all in, you know, but they it was like they had their own secret language.
Did you ever go to the Gaeltacht, or where did you sort of get immersed in the language?
Yeah, so I went to secondary school in Rakarn in the Gaeltacht in County Meath, and I stayed there with the Bananti, with a family, for 4 years, actually, during my schooling. Like, Monday to Thursday I would stay there, and so I was immersed in the language, and I was just surrounded by it, and in fact ended up with Connemara Irish rather than my mum's Donegal Irish. But it's just, yeah, I think that's, I always had a love for Irish, you know. Even I remember in primary school just really, really enjoying the subject Irish and that. Yeah. So I was drawn to it in some way.
And you both, you have two boys together. Do they, are you raising them bilingually, or what way is it working, Colm?
Yeah, it's like, it's funny how I've become my father in a lot of ways. Like, neither of us speak English to the boys. We just speak Irish to them all the time. It's, before we had kids, we didn't necessarily speak Irish to each other all the time, right? It was, we did a lot of work together on Irish language productions and so forth, but it wasn't sort of our lingua franca, if you like. But it was more, Cleo was really like, you were very much, okay, if we're going to do this, let's do this. And so we just decided, okay, we're just going to speak Irish to them all the time. And yeah, it's been this amazing thing to see that, you know, they just have the language naturally now, you know. And
despite your dad's best efforts, Colm, to keep you away from television, he must nonetheless just be absolutely thrilled with the success, because it's an international film.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm sure.
I'm bringing the Irish language to the international stage.
I know, it's extraordinary. I mean, we're very proud of it. I'm sure Dad and my mum and Cleo's mum are all very proud of the film and what it's achieving. I did get a lovely card from my old school principal in Colaisha Own, which is the Irish language secondary school, and just sort of saying, you know, well done, and thanks for what you've done for the language and all this kind of stuff. But you know, for me, it's like, you know, I mean, it's wonderful that we have an Irish language film that's doing so well. But for me, it's almost like, well, why are we so surprised about it? You know what I mean? Like, why is it that it's I guess maybe there hasn't been this sort of level of success possibly for an Irish language film before. But part of me kind of thinks, well, like, it's crazy that we've kind of had such a narrow opinion of what the language could possibly achieve in this area, you know?
I know, and Cleo, look, I mean, there is definitely, I think, a renaissance in the language, particularly amongst younger people, and whether it's using apps or whatever it is. But do you think the film is different, or has a different quality to it, because it is brought to us primarily through the Irish language? What is... is that maybe what gives it its edge or its distinction?
It's probably what makes it unique in a way. And, you know, some people have commented on it being almost, it's another version of ourselves, and it's a non-anglicised version of ourselves, which is interesting, you know. But I guess it's the film in itself is, you know, it has a lot of emotional truth in it. It's about family. It's about a child's need for love. It's about parenting and grief and how that kind of shapes us. And these are all themes that are universal, I suppose. And that's why it appeals to people both here in Ireland and abroad as well, you know.
So, and it's enjoyed huge, huge success abroad. I know it's getting now much wider screenings, particularly in the US. But Colm, just that, is there something different about it being brought to us in that native language? Is it a question of, you know, adaptation or interpretation? What's different about bringing this film? As you said, it as Cleo said, it's, you know, the themes in it are perhaps universal, but there's just something so beautiful about it and hearing the Irish language throughout.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's possibly something about, I mean, it's very hard to sort of pinpoint these things, but there's possibly something about, you know, the fact that we're telling the story through our own language, that's tapping into something that's more elemental perhaps about ourselves. Or
does it make it us more authentic when we do that?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, you know, it's, as I said, I'm kind of wary of being too definitive about what it is exactly, but there's definitely some sort of the fact that there's a sort of a confidence, I think, in an endeavor like this, if you're going to and to decide to do it in the Irish language. And it's possibly, you know, that there's a sense that it's something that's truly our own, you know, that it's not maybe pandering to, you know, a different style of filmmaking, perhaps, like, say, you know, that we may have been sort of trapped in a little before, that we're kind of trying to please, say, like the US market in some way, or that the film has a sort of, or that films in our own language can claim that degree of authenticity or that sort of confidence to tell stories about ourselves and to be very particular, with the understanding that particularity is actually, can be universally appealing, you know, that it's like the worst thing you can do to try and get a general audience is be too general. You know what I mean? It's like if you can be really specific in the same way that Claire Keegan is in Foster, which is obviously the story that our film is based on, there's a real particularity to that piece.
I felt you were, having read that short story by Clara Keegan, I'm a big Clara Keegan fan way back in the day, you've been very, Cleo, very, very faithful to that. Was it strange going to Clara and convince her, can we adapt it, but can we adapt it into the Irish language? Or was she enthusiastic about that?
She was. She was very gracious about the whole approach. Colm had to write a one-page kind of outline of what we were going to propose for the film. And to be honest, she was just very hands-off. She said, you know, this is, once we got the rights, she said, this is your film now to make. And, you know, obviously Colm and Claire had been emailing a bit over different details and things like that. But really, she kind of left it to us, you know, and
because some of that very rich dialogue that Claire had captured in that, it was almost verbatim at certain parts. You'd obviously call them, it was such a rich story that you decided just to keep that.
Yeah, well, to me, Claire's work is kind of perfect. So I didn't want to, you know, there's so much of it that I just felt, because when I first read it, I could really see it as a film. It was just becoming a film in my own head. And
did you stumble across it or?
Yeah, I read an article in the Irish Times back in 2018, and it was a list of the 10 best works by Irish female authors this century. And Foster was on it, and I had heard of it because it was first published in 2010.
Yeah, I think it was in the New Yorker. I think was it?
Yeah, the New Yorker was the very first. Yeah, and then it was published as in a slightly expanded form by Faber. So that's the one that you'll find in the shop now if you go to buy it. I just saw it on that list, and for whatever reason, I went out and bought it that day, and it took me about 40 minutes to read it. It's very slight, as
it is,
you know.
It is, yeah.
And by the end of it, I had tears streaming down my face, and I just knew there was a way of making a film of this.
Cleo, can I ask you, because obviously the pandemic has changed us, you know, so I think we're happy to watch films with subtitles now, perhaps in a way that we wouldn't have done before. I don't think that is problematic for the viewers. But once you got through the whole challenges of actually making the movie, and lockdown and everything, is that the bulk of the job done, or is just post-production just a whole different story?
Well, we finished the film, it was probably late last year, and I remember someone saying to us, you know, you think you've finished, you're only just starting. And we really didn't realise the amount of work that was in this part of this stage of the the film, you know, the promotion, the distribution, the marketing, everything, all, you know,
because
traveling
it's your
to
own
festivals.
Company as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
The purview.
So it's you know, the festivals alone is it's a huge commitment, you know, like we've played at over 40 festivals this year in 20 countries. Like Colm has travelled to, I think, 15 countries. So it's, you know, we're trying to juggle home life as well. So it's been a huge undertaking, you know, but it's been very exciting and we've learnt a huge amount. It's been such an education.
Because, Colm, you must have been on, you know, it's quite an eclectic and very exclusive circuit that you go on. Once you go on the circuit of all of those festivals, I mean, you must be just meeting with directors and meeting with people at such a fantastic scale.
Yeah, big time, yeah. And like to us it's just a privilege, like to get to travel the world with a film and to sort of introduce that film to different audiences. And as you say, you're meeting people along the way who you've kind of looked up to over the years, or you know, particularly we've met quite a few kind of people from Irish personalities who've been very well established, like who've been very helpful with us with our whole campaign in terms of the Oscars. So like Pierce Brosnan and Kerry Condon, and
because it is a campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a political campaign of sorts. But we actually really enjoy it. Like we love talking about the film. We love meeting people and you know, just sort of discussing the film with them. And yeah, it's
and
one
of the big questions: what are people most curious about, Colm?
In other countries, definitely the language is a thing, and people talk about how there's this kind of beautiful musicality to it that they really enjoy. Just
yeah, the tempo of the film,
yeah, just listening to it, and then obviously Catherine Clinch is a huge part of it. You know, people are like, "Wow, where did you find this girl?" You know,
where did you find her, Clee?
We found her through self-tape in the end. Like we put a call out to all the Gaelic schools around the country and yeah, this self-tape come in. We actually had started off doing in-person auditions and we travelled the length and breadth of Munster auditioning young girls because we were trying to find a young actor with the Munster dialect of Irish. And eventually, anyway, COVID hit, of course, and we had to cancel all our physical auditions. And yeah, this self-tape came in then from Catherine Clinch. I think it was like May 2020 and she was just phenomenal, you know, in that first audition tape. You could have just cast her straight from, and we did, in fact, you know, after that, we brought her in, obviously, for a chemistry read with some other actors and that. But she was just incredible in that first audition tape, you know.
Yeah,
and
you can imagine huge things ahead for her in their future. Dare I ask, look, I mean, right now, Colm, it is probably language you weren't using a couple of years ago. It's about new markets, it's sales, it's, you know, big international markets, and as part of that big campaign. Is this really just absorbing everything, or can you even look ahead to what is next? Can you even look beyond that?
We're certainly very aware of, you know, because eventually the train will stop somewhere, you know, and you kind of want another train to be coming along fairly soon afterwards. So we're developing new material and, you know, there's been a lot of stuff just due to the profile of the film. A lot of stuff has been kind of coming our way as well. So we're certainly kind of busy when we get a chance. At the moment, it is a little hectic, but there are certainly projects in development that are happening.
And Cleo, are there bigger projects now? Like, I mean, is it like, I know and Colin Kuhn, you know, totally Irish funded, produced here, but they must be opening up opportunities for you even in the international market to produce and to co-produce. I suppose, are you getting to that stage now where you have to hand the responsibility over to other people, or are you still trying to keep it that authentic Irish experience?
Well, yeah, who knows what's ahead of us, you know, but we have our two projects that we're trying to develop at the moment. And, you know, we want to kind of keep it as authentic as we can, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And we're really just excited about what's ahead, you know, and I guess you do need to co-produce if you do want to kind of go up the ladder a little bit in making a bigger film. And if you want to attract big names, you know, you have to kind of look overseas for funding because you can't get all of your funding here in Ireland. So at the end of the day, like film festivals, they look for films with stars and that, you know, and that is how the film industry
plays. Did the success of it, Cleo, surprise you at all, or in the course of, you know, producing the film and bringing it, did you recognise, did you both kind of see, no, there's something magical about this.
Well, I do remember when the rushes started coming in from set, you know, people were like, wow, you know, and even Screen Ireland, TG Cahir, you know, they were describing them as exquisite. And so we kind of felt, and even being there on set, you know, Catherine Clinch, she would get like a round of applause at the end of the day. And we just felt there was something special happening. And there was a real chemistry. There was just something very powerful.
And then do you remember remember the cast and crew screening then? What was that? Yeah. November last year. So that was the first time we watched it in a cinema with an audience. And even though like cast and crew, you're obviously expecting, okay, there's going to be an inherent bias here. Yeah, everyone's going to tell you it's good, but you can tell like when people like are genuinely moved by something, and there's just a sort of an energy or an electricity in the room. Like we went home that night after quite a few drinks, but we went home and I remember we were like, we couldn't sleep that night because we just stayed up most of the night just talking about the reaction to the film. And my kind of abiding memory of that was like, I just felt like the film had sort of changed in a sense. And it's very hard to describe. It's like a kind of an alchemical thing.
It had evolved
thing.
Or just...
It's that thing of like once you see an audience respond to it, it's almost like it doesn't belong to you anymore. It's like it's become this other thing. And I have a very strong memory of feeling that way after that one screening.
But we could never have imagined what was going to come. You know, I remember saying to you, you know, God, this is just the start of it. But really, nobody could have ever imagined, you know, what happened at the IFTAs or, you know, the 5-star reviews or, you know, that we would be playing at all these film festivals and now shortlisted, you know.
Has it been like, I think, I don't know which one of you, or was it both of you described it, it's kind of like your third child now, is it?
Yeah, it's sort of, we do describe it as our child, because when we go to film festivals, you know, we stay with it and hold its hand, as it were, and watch the film and go on the journey with the audiences. But I think in the same way as you would, I suppose, do anything for your child, we would do anything for this film, you know, and try and I suppose just make sure it succeeds and
so tell me now, what's next for this little baby? Because Colin, what is next in terms of the Academy Awards? What's the next stage that's coming up, and what does the next stage look like in terms of minding that baby and carrying it through? When do you find out with the Academy Awards?
So yeah, so like we're on the shortlist at the moment, which is so that's 15 films that was whittled down from 92, I think, was it? Wow. So 92 films around the world, whittled down to 15, and now on the 24th of January, 5 films will be chosen out
from
of
the
15. Yeah, and they're the final 5 nominees that will be at the ceremony and all that. So yeah, it's a very short window, this particular phase of the campaign. So like we'll be back over in LA next week, is it? So we're playing at the Palm Springs Film Festival, which is a very important festival for this category. Yeah. I think there's like 12 of the 15 films are all playing there.
That's a biggie.
So that's really important. And then we'll be holding screenings for Academy members in LA after that festival as well. And so it's all about just trying to get as many people, as many voters for this category to see it as possible, and ideally for us to meet them and hold Q&As and all that kind of stuff.
I do, Chadwick. Well, listen, I think the whole country is behind you. Everybody is rooting for you and we're very excited for you. Colin Bourade and Cleona Enicruilly, thank you both for so much for coming in, and best of luck at the next stage of the Oscar hunt for Anne Colleen Kuhn, or The Quiet Girl as it's known internationally. Thanks to you both for coming in. Happy New Year, and we'll take a quick break.
Dervil MacDonald on RTE Radio 1.